Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst, and I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. And we invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Do you want to see God? Do you want to learn to know Him more deeply? If so, I hope you can stay with me for the next half hour as we study the Word of God together and allow it to purify our hearts. Right now, let's ask God's Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to the truth. Gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, we come to You acknowledging our need to be purified. It's so easy for us to be contaminated with the false ideas of our world. We need to constantly come back to Your Word to be cleansed and restored. Now as I open the Word, I pray that You will bless my friend and me with a renewed understanding of Your truth. And may we be willing to bring our lives into greater conformity to that truth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You've most likely heard of the 7 deadly sins. If you've forgotten what they are, let me refresh your memory. They are lust, gluttony, greed, laziness, wrath, envy, and pride. In the early years of the 12th century, Dante Alighieri composed his epic poem, A Divine Comedy. It's divided into 3 sections, Inferno, Purgatory, and Paradise. Based on the religious sentiments of his day, it details Dante's journey through hell, purgatory, and heaven. I have read The Inferno, Dante's description of the 9 circles of eternal torment. When he enters the gates of hell, Dante sees the famous line, "Abandon all hope, you who enter here." And that is indeed the chief punishment of all the inhabitants of the Inferno. They have no hope of salvation, no hope of release, no hope of any improvement, and no hope of escape from their punishments. As Dante progresses through the 9 concentric circles of hell, each deeper level holds greater sinners and greater punishments. The sinners in hell are all guilty of 1 or more of the 7 deadly sins. The deepest circle is at the center of the earth, and it's here that the chief sinner, Satan, is held bound in a lake of ice for all eternity. Just a few moments ago, I listed for you the 7 deadly sins because of the portion of Scripture we will be studying today. In Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, Jesus gives His followers a very graphic warning about the dangers of covetousness. In the list of 7 deadly sins, covetousness is synonymous with greed. And according to Ephesians 5:3 and other portions of Scripture, a lifestyle of covetousness is one that will disqualify a person from heaven, from the glorious, eternal presence of God. That is a sobering word to consider. So let's give our attention to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 to 21. I've titled our study, "Beware of Covetousness," and here is the Word of God. Then one from the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This text contains three sobering warnings for us about the dangers of covetousness. The first warning is, covetousness damages relationships. In the opening verses of this chapter, Jesus was warning the people about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And as he was teaching, one of the multitude speaks up and says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, pardon my bluntness, but this fellow was dense. What Jesus had been teaching went right over his head. Jesus was imparting spiritual truth to the people around him, and all this fellow could think of was his own perceived injustice. Jesus didn't ask him to explain his situation. He simply asked a question. Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? The man who approached Jesus saw his brother as the problem. His brother was withholding from him the share of the inheritance that he supposed was rightfully his. So his brother was the aggressor and he was the victim. But you know, evidently Jesus didn't see it that way, because immediately after asking the question, he turns to the crowd with a stark warning. Take care and be on your guard against all kinds of covetousness. His comment went straight to the heart of this man. His covetousness, his desire for more, was the root of the problem. It wasn't his brother. And covetousness is the root of many other sins too. So Jesus warns us to beware of all kinds of covetousness. Now, what is the reason for Jesus' warning? It is, as he said, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. A person's existence and well-being aren't measured by the amount of stuff he has. A newborn baby comes into the world with nothing, but he or she certainly exists. A flower grows from a seed. It owns nothing and it owes nothing, yet it exists in all of its beauty. Only we humans, who have the capacity for rational thought, irrationally see the measure of our existence in the stuff we accumulate. Jesus' words are true. So, if a man's life cannot be measured by the abundance of his possessions, what measure should we use? I believe our text and others like it measure a person by relationships, first to God and then to other people. And there's a close connection between those two kinds of relationships. This man who blurted out his tale of woe evidently saw Jesus as someone with moral authority. He saw him as someone who could compel his brother to do what he wanted. In his mind, Jesus' intervention would solve the problem. His request proved he was more concerned about possessions than about relationships. He didn't ask Jesus to give him love and compassion for his brother. He didn't ask for grace to respond to the injustice, or how he and his brother could be reconciled. No, he just wanted what was his, and he was willing to sacrifice the relationship for those material possessions. That same tendency shows up in the life of the rich man in Jesus' story. He didn't think about all the people he could bless with his abundance. He didn't think how he could build relationships with the blessings God had given him. No, he was totally fixated on himself. He looked at what he had, and then he laid out a plan to take it easy for the rest of his life. He didn't realize that his neglect of human relationships jeopardized his relationship with God. Now, maybe you're thinking loving your brother has nothing to do with your relationship with God, with your salvation. And in a sense, that's true. God doesn't save us because we love our brother or someone else. He saves us because we love him and respond to his call for repentance in our spirit. However, genuine salvation has something to do with loving your brother. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 19 and 20 remind us, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who loves not his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." You know, there are many sins that damage or destroy relationships and preclude entrance into God's presence. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 list the following: the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, sodomites, thieves, drunkards, revilers, and swindlers. And oh, I missed one: those who are covetous. God's word clearly states that such people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And yet I have never heard of a church that exercised disciplinary action against a member because of covetousness. And yet it's the cause of many of the evils that are in this list. My friend, do you have relationships that are being damaged by your focus on material things? Do others see you as one who puts things before relationships? Jesus reminds us it is a very foolish thing to make those kinds of mistakes. Those who are not rich toward God will pay dearly for their selfishness, both in this life and in the life to come. The second warning is that covetousness distorts reality. It distorts reality because it gives the illusion that the value of life is measured by possessions. That's what drives our whole manufacturing, consumer-oriented culture. It's a distortion we must resist because it produces a focus on the present at the expense of an eternal perspective. This man who came to Jesus asking him to settle his inheritance issues saw his financial loss as the main problem. Success, in his eyes, was having tangible assets, even if that meant losing his relationship with his brother. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Beware of Covetousness. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Leaven of Hypocrisy. It's available on audio CD or in print. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Beware of Covetousness. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.